1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here on the Thursday edition of the program. What's going on with the Cubs right now? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Teddy Greenstein. He's the senior editor at PointsBet USA. We talk with him about some Cubs, White Sox, and Bears news, plus some big bets heading into the weekend. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Ryan. Just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called them yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Find them online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. What's been the biggest problem for the Cubs since 2016? Consistency. Right? Consistency. Every year, there's a new narrative and a different reason why they can't win, why they can't repeat, why they sit in second place at a wild card spot, missing the playoffs entirely. New reason every year. Oh, the bullpen's here, but the pitching isn't. The pitching's here, but hitting isn't. Hitting's here, and nothing else is here. It's a never-ending cycle with this team. Now, usually it wouldn't be a problem if you're a rebuilder, if you're not talented. Wouldn't matter. You want to rebuild and move on to the next generation. I still believe, moving forward, that's the best course of action for this team, but the Cubs have played recently like they don't want to. Fine. Great. Here's the thing, though. If you don't want to play that way, if you don't want to rebuild, great. But prove as to why it shouldn't happen. You have to give a reason. You can't just say, we don't want to rebuild, we want to stay, and then play the same way. Something has to give. We talked about on this program last week that the month of June was going to be very important for the Cubs and their direction. How would they respond? Cubs schedule, only 3 games against teams under 500. They're facing the Padres now. How would they respond to this? If they did well, that proved that they're a good team. If they could beat all these teams above 500, that means they too belong in that conversation. Common sense. Well, so far, it's been a bit underwhelming. Ever since the Cubs swept the Padres, they lost 2 out of 3 to San Francisco, and they're now losing to the Padres, too, in that series. And the scary part is, everyone's regressing a bit. Now, I know Patrick Wisdom, Jake Marisnyk, Sergio Alcantara. Some of these guys have come up and they've been hitting well. People who we didn't even talk about a week ago, but the regulars are going down a bit. Contreras, Rizzo, Sogard, Baez, Jock Peterson too, Ian Happ. All of these guys who were 100-plus OPS-plus, who were leading the team, who were above-average hitters in baseball, have started to dip. Chris Bryant's the only one still playing very well. Jock Peterson's OPS-plus is at 98. Happ, 89. Wasn't like that a few weeks ago when everybody said, oh, they're great. See, I told you, John, you were wrong. No, I was not wrong. I knew this would happen. So obvious. Of course they're going to regress. What do you think? They're going to keep putting up a 120 OPS plus? Those players? Come on. It'd be different if we were talking Bryant, Rizzo, real superstars. We're talking about role players in the grand scheme of things. They're not going to keep that up. Ian Happ, Jock Peterson, we're not going to keep that up. And now it's showing. Showing to everybody what's really going on with this team. What's really going on with them. How talented they truly are. But even the bigger problem right now than the hitting, the starting pitching. This is atrocious. This is the worst I've ever seen the Cubs' five-man rotation. The best ERA, the best one, is Alzolay at 4.06. Hendricks, 4.6. Davies, nearly 5. Arrieta, 5+. Trevor Williams on the DL, 5+. Now a word from our sponsor, True Classic Tees. Are you tired of boxy t-shirts that just won't get the job done? What about ones that feel too big and uncomfortable? I have that problem a lot, especially as a taller person. Thanks to True Classic Tees, though, those problems are over. See, I'm wearing them right now. Very comfortable, double stitch for endurance, and custom-made to fit your dimensions. And get this, a portion of every sale goes towards helping homeless vets get off the streets. So you're helping out our veterans, and you're buying quality material from a good independent company. Listeners in this program get a discount, too. Use JON10, that's J-O-N-10, to get 10% off your next purchase. Go to TrueClassicTees.com or find the link in the description of the video. True Classic Tees, top clothing, and a good cause. That is going to be a recurring issue for this team. You can't have 5 starting pitchers, all of which having ERAs near 5. Common sense. If the offense is struggling, and your pitchers are performing the same way, giving up 5 runs a game, you're not going to win. And truth be told, that's what's happened. Pretty simple. Simple philosophy. Look, I like this team's fight. I like their spirit. I like their energy. But I think it's safe to say that their talent just isn't there. No one wants to hear that, but they don't have it. Great energy. Great fight. They're willing to do what they can to prove everybody wrong, and that's great. But the talent isn't there. Look, the fact of the matter is, no more Yu Darvish. Management has said, we're not looking to win right now, essentially. And I know reports have changed, and, you know, we saw a report last week that Jed Hoyer said we're going to be buyers at the trade deadline. Well, not if this trend continues. You won't be. You're going to become sellers. At that time, the Cubs were going to be buyers. They were winning 10 games above 500, first place. Now they've lost first place. Now they're 6 games up. And it's only early June. They still have to face a bulk of their tough schedule this month. You've got guys regressing. You've got a rotation that has to give up 5 runs a game. They can't give up any less than 5 runs a game. The bullpen's great, but what's the bullpen going to do when they come in and the Cubs are losing 5-2? That's the problem. The Cubs right now are at a breaking point. Plain and simple. One of two options exist. The pitching needs to improve. You can't be giving up 5 runs a game. Or you go down with the ship here. I mean, this is really the crossroads of the season right now, this month. You're a couple of games over. You're within striking distance of first place. Really tough schedule to go. And you're starting to see guys regress again. Like at the beginning of the year, when no one hit, then everybody hit. Now we're seeing everybody kind of come back down to earth. The pitching was never there. They were there for 1 week early on, and that ended quickly. It's a turning point. Right now, as we speak, what are they going to do? How will they react, respond, and adjust to this situation? That will determine whether they make the playoffs, what they do with the deadline, and how quickly this supposed rebuild is going to happen. So these next couple of weeks are crucial. And if I were you, I'd pay attention and be glued to your TV when you watch Cubs baseball. What are they going to do? How are they going to do this year? Everybody's favorite players can't hit anymore. Ian Happ, Peterson, Sogard, whom everybody loved earlier, now can't hit. Contreras is moving down. Baez, too. What are you going to do without those guys? What are you going to do when your rotation is giving up 5 runs a game? And that's a given. That's a given. Look at everybody's ERA. That's literally a given. 5 runs a game. I hate to say it, but that is not a recipe for success. That's a recipe for disaster, failure, selling, rebuilding. Now, the positive is there's still some time to shift things up, make them different, change the perception and the narrative. There's still time. The question is, though, can the Cubs make their adjustments? I'm sorry, something has to give in that rotation. Something, anything, make some sort of change. This is ridiculous. I mean, that you're relying on Hendricks, Alzolay, Davies, Arrieta, and Williams? Really? How can you call yourself a contender if you're relying on those 5 pitchers? How can you say, we're going to be great, we're ready, first place, let's be buyers, when you're relying on that 5-man rotation? You won't win anything. Sorry to break it to you. I know these guys are fan favorites. I get it. This is not a personal attack. Look at the numbers. Every pitcher, with the exception of Alzolay, has an ERA near or above 5. You will not win anything if that's the case. You will not win one game if you have a 3-game, 4-game series and every pitcher you throw is giving up 5 runs a game. You just won't. I don't care how great your hitting is. It won't happen because your hitting won't always be there. That's just a fact. Okay, go look back at the Texas Rangers in the early 2000s. Great hitting. Great team. No pitching. Didn't win. 500 all year. And right now, if the Cubs continue down that path, that's where they're going to be. 500 team. This stuff has to be considered here. This is reality for the Cubs. They're still in it. Nothing's over yet, but something's got to give. They need something for that rotation. I mean, I don't know what options exist. I don't know if you'd like to trade or sign somebody, call somebody up. We've seen enough of this. It's June. Nothing's going to change. I know everybody was happy about Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta is old, and he has a 5 ERA. His stuff is gone. Did anybody watch him in Philadelphia? Train wreck. Zach Davies. Zach Davies was a Brewer. So I know that you all know who Zach Davies is. Nobody was impressed with him before. I certainly wasn't. And I'm not really impressed now. Trevor Williams, I liked. He was good 3 years ago. Not anymore. Alzolay, only bright spot. And surprisingly enough, it's Kyle Hendricks who can't pitch. I'm not saying things won't improve. There's an opportunity for things to get better. But as it stands right now, it doesn't look good. And I have to reiterate this so I can get my point across. You can't win with that rotation. It's impossible. Impossible. You want to win a World Series with that rotation? Good luck. You'll be bounced out of the playoffs in round one. That's the issue here. I understand there's a fandom element. I understand, oh, I like this guy, favorite player. I'm trying to give you reality here. Reality is, when you look at these numbers, there should be a huge cause for concern. And the fact that there isn't really concerns me. The fact that nobody cares about this or is going to gloss over it or say, yeah, go Arrieta and, you know, leave it at that, problem. That's a problem. Something needs to change. And there's not much time left to do anything. All of you Cubs fans don't want to rebuild. You've complained about it for years and years and years. You've commented on my videos. You've told me. You've told other people. Writers have said it. No rebuild, no rebuild, because they're fans of the team too now, and they're not unbiased. Fine. If you don't want to rebuild, then how about you make your team better now? You will get a rebuild if that's your five-man rotation. You will get a rebuild if your favorite players can't perform. If the hitting regresses, you're going to get that. You can't be a buyer at the trade deadline if you have a rotation filled with five ERA guys. You can't be a buyer if all of your supposed great hitters aren't hitting anymore or they're regressing. If there's a pattern of regression, they're not buying. They're selling. And there won't be anybody to blame that on, by the way. Don't blame that on the Ricketts or Hoyer. Blame it on the players. The players are the ones who are performing or trying to perform. If they can't get it done, it's over. And that's been said many a time. That was known before the season. If the players can't get it done, there has to be a rebuild. This core is old. Aging. They've been around for a while. They had a great run, but it's over. So if you want no rebuild, if you want this team to be great, if you want a playoff appearance, World Series even, you have to demand better performances from the guys you know and trust. Jake Arrieta, I'm sure, is a great guy. But a 5 ERA now won't cut it. Sorry. That's not going to cut it for this team. Ian Happ, great guy. Everybody loves him. Team chemistry, podcast, all that great stuff. Can't win with an OPS plus of 89 and a batting average under 200. These are the facts. All I see all over is, oh, this team's a vibe. That's great. But can we talk about substance? Could we stop skipping over substance, please? All I see is it's a vibe. I love this team. That's great. What do you like about them? Do you like the 5 ERA? Do you like the regression at the plate? But you don't want a rebuild, right? Fine. You don't need to have a rebuild if these guys perform. It's that simple. No one's performing. That's why you're going to get a rebuild. And then guess what? You're going to blame Ricketts, Hoyer, everybody. That's how it works. Demand more from your favorite player. Not wrong to ask for better performances than a 190 batting average or a 5 ERA. That's correct. That's expected. You can't be a playoff team. You can't be a World Series team when you have your guys completely underperforming. If you truly don't want to rebuild, don't go post on social media saying this team's a vibe. Oh, screw the Cubs. Screw management. No, say, hey, if we don't want to rebuild, then you have to perform. You have to hit and pitch and win. That's how you avoid the rebuild. There won't be a rebuild if this team wins. Plain and simple. That means this team is good again. That means I just won't keep everybody around and win next year and the year after. But if you don't want that, then that's it. Don't complain on social media saying, well, I don't know what to do, or, oh, I hate Jed Hoyer for doing this to them, or the Ricketts family. They're not doing anything. They see what we see. They see a 5 ERA. They see their rotation crumbling. They see hitting, or I should say lack thereof. It's not wrong to want to make your team better. I didn't see anybody opposed to the 2012 rebuild with Theo and Jed. Why is there opposition now? Because they're World Series champions. Great. It's over. Time to move on and chase the next World Series. You can't chase the next World Series if you're still enraptured in the first one. That's the big problem here. So if you're the Cubs, perform. If you're Cubs fans, demand performance. That's how you avoid this stuff. Demand excellence. If you demand it, it'll come. And if these guys can't perform, everybody's better off. It might be painful in the beginning. But I'll tell you this much, in the future, you'll thank everybody for them deciding to cut the cord. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Teddy Greenstein comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. Must be 21 plus. Must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 free on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. Cubs and White Sox are back. NBA playoffs in full swing. Plus, of course, Bears prop bets. This is, without question, the best time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. SportsTalkChicago.com/cash. SportsTalkChicago.com/cash. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports Talk Chicago. With Johnson Lowell, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the senior editor, PointsBet USA, and a former Chicago Tribune sports writer. Please welcome Teddy Greenstein to the program. Teddy, it's great to have you on. How are you?
John, I'm an alumnus here, man. I'm racking up the appearances. Good to be back.
Great to have you back. What's your take on the Justin Fields pick for the Bears first off?
Well, it was like a strange day because I think all Bears fans felt a surge of pride. You know, it doesn't happen a ton on draft day where 99.9% of the fan base says congratulations. You know, as a guy who covered a ton of Justin Fields at Ohio State, that's an amazing pick. And to get him there was awesome. There's a great chance that he is the number two quarterback from that draft. And, you know, that's coming from a New Yorker, a Jets fan who's hoping Zach Wilson is going to be number two, but I'm not so sure he is. So, you know, the fact that they were able to get Fields was awesome. I am generally not a proponent of trading up for quarterbacks. Take a look at Mitch Trubisky. I hated it at the time. I always look at franchises like New England that never trade up for quarterbacks, or I think trade up in general. Like, you want to trade down, you want to get more picks, not give up picks. But that one didn't work, but hopefully this one will.
What excites you about his game specifically from back when you covered him?
Total package. Amazing athlete, great thrower, in terrific shape, very intelligent, hardworking, has played in high pressure games. You know, I mean, kids now, like, John, you know, like, Justin Fields has been in the spotlight since he was probably 15 or 16 years old. It's so different now. Like, I look at Justin Herbert last year. I didn't think he would be a great quarterback at all. You know, coming out of college, his numbers were just okay. And these guys are so prepared. I mean, they've had their quarterback tutors. They've been working on their bodies. So they've seen a lot of coverages, and it's quite possible that he's going to come in this season firing away. Now, it doesn't sound like he's going to be the starter from day one, but he might be ready.
You think he should start game one?
You know, on June 10th and without seeing practice, I think it's a little silly to say. Like, I definitely feel, you know, they've got not one, but two veteran options. Andy Dalton won a lot of games. Nick Foles done some great things. So I think to just hand it to him, it would be a huge mistake. He has to prove to the coaches and even more so, you know, his teammates, that he deserves to be number one. And I'm really not in favor of rushing guys at that position. So if it's week 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, don't hurt his confidence. Wait till he's truly ready.
Teddy Greenstein here on Sports Talk Chicago. Teddy, could the Bears at least be competitive with Andy Dalton behind center?
I guess competitive. I mean, they were just, you know, they were just such a 500 team last year, right? I mean, they were just kind of exactly mediocre. They're not terrible. They're not great. And, you know, the odds look the same this year. I got to look at their win loss. Let me see if it's 7 or 7.5 or 8.5, but yeah, it just seems like they're right in that middle ground. Right. So they're over 7.5 and they're under is 7.5, obviously with a 17 game schedule. And even more appropriately, both sides are -115. And you know, not sure all the folks listening to this know what that means, but oftentimes, like if you look at the Atlanta Falcons, over 7.5 is -130. Under 7.5 is +100, which means the over is favored. But with the Bears, they're so mediocre, they're so dead 500 that not only is their total 7.5, that it's -115 on both sides. Like they couldn't be more of a 500 team. You couldn't lay out a scenario more like that.
So what if Dalton doesn't start or he gets hurt or he doesn't play as much and Fields becomes the quarterback? Could we see movement with that 7.5 total?
Yeah, I think we updated the outrights. You know, we also, for a while, we had a Justin Fields prop on PointsBet, and it was total yardage thrown, passing yards. And this is interesting. You know, it started out at, I remember this number, 2999.5 was the over-under. Then the latest I saw was 2900. So I think the Matt Nagy talk out of, you know, that we heard a couple weeks ago where he makes it sound like Andy Dalton is QB1 affected that. So, yeah, if you feel like he's going to go throw for 2,901 yards, you're going to take the over on that, but it's been trending down.
Are you confident in Fields playing enough to maybe hit those numbers or hit the 15 touchdown prop too?
If I had to bet, I would take the under. I would just think that because there are two veterans there and because Matt Nagy probably feels like, you know, hey, maybe if I can get to squeeze out 8 or 9 wins out of this, you know, maybe go save my job and just be a little safer. So it just sounds like they're going to take the safer option and go with a veteran. So I would take the under on the Justin Fields props.
What's the Bears' future look like in general, Teddy? I mean, assuming Fields plays a little bit this year, maybe gets more time in year two, do you see them on a path to a playoff appearance, a Super Bowl? Where do you see them going? What's their ceiling with Fields?
I mean, I wouldn't project that right now, like in part because they gave up, you know, not the Trubisky draft. The pick is going to haunt them forever. But like, you know, they gave up, what, 3 mid-round picks when they acquired him. I just don't think the roster's that good. The skill guys are okay. I mean, what's Allen Robinson's future? Is the offensive line good? I just don't think they're really great in any spot. So, no, I'm not going to sadly predict that the Bears are going to be in the playoffs anytime soon. That's where Justin Fields come in, because man, if you're a great quarterback, you are turning a 7-win team into an 11-win team.
Teddy Greenstein here on Sports Talk Chicago. Teddy, do you buy the White Sox at +800 to win the World Series?
I mean, I think you got to sprinkle a few on that, just because if it happens and you haven't bet it, then you just feel like an idiot. So if you're a Sox fan, you know, throw 20 on there or just something so you have a ticket. It makes it a little more interesting. I mean, the White Sox, it's fascinating in terms of, given the injuries, you know, how they've been able to hang in there. And I mean, this number is interesting to me. They are now -500 to win the AL Central. So they are such a favorite that they're such a favorite that you'd have to wager $500 to win $100. And that's even up since last week. Last week I saw they were -400. So if you're -500, man, you're getting there maybe 75, 80% of the time. So then you're saying, all right, there's no value in that. So, you know, let's look at the outrights. Let's look at, you know, to win the American League. And let's see, to win the American League, they're +275. So almost 3-1 on your money. So I think at this point, yeah, you want to splash a few on that and then look at the World Series. You know, we had a prop up, we were calling it the red line, Red Line Series a couple weeks ago, Cubs White Sox to meet in the World Series, and we had it up at 100-1, and we got so much action that we immediately had to move it down to 75-1. So you know, you got to throw, if you're a Chicago fan, you got to sprinkle a few bucks on that.
What's your number one concern for the White Sox right now?
You know, I still think it's offense because, you know, they've gotten, I mean, your mean Mercedes has slowed down a little bit, but I think just scoring enough runs until you hope to get the big boppers back in the outfield. And, you know, if you can get Robert and Aloy back in August or September, I mean, that would be the most ridiculous boost of all time. Like, in my business, we're often talking about boosts, like odds boosts, but that would be an all-time boost right there if they could get some big right-handed bats back in the lineup.
Is Tony La Russa going to be a problem, or is he a problem to you so far?
Yeah, that's such a good one. And I've talked to, you know, Sox fans about that. Like, Richard Roper and I were out at our Crestwood location, our Points by Crestwood location. I was asking him for his thoughts. It seems like even though he is, you know, generations from these younger players and he is so set in his ways. And, you know, when he said Yermín Mercedes was clueless, I'm sure that didn't win him any favors in the clubhouse. It seems like the guys respect him. They respect his knowledge. And so for all the, you know, oddities, the foibles, the issue he had with selecting the wrong, you know, pinch base runner, it's remarkable. I mean, you can't take away the fact that despite the injuries, these guys are playing as well as they are. So I think there's respect there. 37-24, that speaks for itself. And, you know, in the end, all the players just want to win. And I feel like Tony's a guy who can lead them.
What about the Cubs, Teddy? Are they a real contender right now?
Yeah, it's really amazing that they're 8 games over 500, you know, considering just like how poorly they started. And I mean, early on when they were scuffling, I was like, my God, just bet on the Cubs to lose every day. And I feel like you're going to hit 3 out of 5, you know, when they were like, you know, losing to Pittsburgh and Milwaukee and Atlanta, then they had that rough stretch. But great to see Kyle Hendricks turn it around. They cannot win without him. You know, this bullpen with Kimbrel and a bunch of no names has obviously been a total revelation. And then Chris Bryant. I mean, Chris Bryant has now gone from, you know, a guy who you just wondered was ever going to get it back to a guy who is, God, is he going to be the highest paid player in baseball? So his timing has been exquisite.
Should they think about training him, or is that something you would consider?
Oof, I would definitely not consider that. Not if you want to have any fans left. You know, you got to go for it in this world. I mean, I'm looking at right now, and speaking of going for it, there's still a lot of skepticism. Like, so for the Cubs to win the National League pennant, 22-1 odds, there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams with lower odds. So, you know, I think they're considered just like a fringe playoff team at this point, or if they make the playoffs, really not to advance that far. So, yeah, I think you go, because there's no guarantee once you know, if you start trading these guys or, you know, failing to re-sign Javi and Riz and Bryant, that, you know, you're going to be able to make anything out of it in the future.
Where do you see them going the rest of the year? Do you see them at least a fringe playoff team?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I just know this. I mean, the crowds are coming back. I mean, Cardinals are coming in. Hopefully they'll get 40,000. Hopefully that loosens stuff in the budget. Look, I live in Lakeview. I'm in walking distance to Wrigley, and the town is just much more fun. This area is much more fun when the Cubs are good.
More to come with Teddy Greenstein in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Greenstein still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Teddy, the U.S. Open's coming up next week. What's going on for PointsBet when it comes to that event coming up?
Yeah, John, pretty cool. So, like, at PointsBet, we're really trying to establish ourselves as the number one book for golf. You know, we've got Paige. You know, I feel pretty fluent in golf, having covered 11 Masters and I think 9 U.S. Opens. So, it's out at Torrey Pines in San Diego, and NBC has the rights to the U.S. Open, and PointsBet has a partnership with NBC. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could get credentialed for the event and produce content out there? And honestly, like, at first, the USGA said no because they were citing COVID restrictions in California. Obviously, California is still really tight in terms of numbers. But then, you know, we talked again maybe 5-6 weeks ago, and they said they were open to having us. So we're going to be out there, and we're going to be, you know, answering bettors' questions, and I'll be, like, analyzing the golf course, the good birdie and bogey holes. We'll have so many offerings. Like, one of my jobs today is to come up with, like, novel U.S. Open props. So these are some of the funnest days I have on my calendar. Like, if you told me a couple of years ago, hey, you're going to be like creating bets that your friends can actually bet on points bet, man, that would have been something I didn't think was realistic. So pretty cool what's happening today and certainly next week.
What does this mean for the future of golf betting and for the future of points bet and golf?
Yeah, I mean, one of the cool things with golf betting is I think it lends itself to live betting as well as any sport, like probably even better than basketball. Because like basketball, people watch and, you know, let's say all of a sudden, okay, you know, you want to bet the Suns -7.5 live. By the time you get that in, there's been another possession. So oftentimes they'll say, sorry, the bet's declined. But golf lends itself really well. Like the week that Phil Mickelson won the PGA Championship, I mean, think about this. He was 200-1 to start the week. He makes a bogey on the first hole on Thursday, John. All of a sudden he's 400-1. Wow. 400-1. So he's playing well. You know, every day his odds shrink. Maybe he's 20-1, 12-1. He enters Sunday at 4-1, and he makes a bogey on the first hole Sunday, and then he's 7-1. So, like, my point being, you don't have to bet before the first shot is struck on Thursday. Just wait it out, and then have fun with it. Like, let's say you just have, like, 2 hours to watch golf on a Saturday or Sunday. You open up our app. And let's say you're watching Jordan Spieth, he's on the 11th hole. You can bet on how Jordan Spieth is going to do on the 12th hole. Is he going to birdie or better, par, bogey or worse? Bet $5, bet $1. Just bet some amount of money that will, you know, make the experience of watching the tournament more enjoyable.
Do you think we could eventually see kind of a betcast thing similar to what you did with NBC Sports Chicago and the Bulls?
Yeah, you know, man, actually we did that in February out in Scottsdale at TPC Scottsdale for the waste management. It was a great event for it because that event is all about betting. Like, they've got the 16th hole where they've got like 20 or 30,000 fans, and dudes are betting like which caddy is going to get to the green first, who's going to be closest to the hole, will Ricky Fowler get up and down from that bunker. So we took it a step further. I was on remote. And we had these 2.5-hour daily shows where all we did was talk about sports betting, what bets we would make, and how the outright odds were changing.
Teddy, two more questions before we finish up now. First off, your favorite golf course to play at is what?
Well, not to flex, but I did one time win the Masters Lottery.
Really?
So I got to play Augusta National in 2010. Yeah. It was great. Beautiful day. And then I made only one par. I think I was a little nervous. It's the only round I've ever played, John, where I decided not to keep score because I hit it in the fairway bunker on one. Fortunately, I hit a pretty good drive on one, even though nervous as all hell. But then hit it in the fairway bunker, took three to get out, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have a number associated with this day. I'm just going to try to make some pars and hit some good shots. So that was a pretty fun day. But, I mean, we've got such incredible courses out here. You know, I'm playing North Shore in a couple weeks. I was at Beverly over the weekend, you know, Chicago Golf Club, Shore Acres, the Glen Club. There's just so much amazing golf here. Unfortunately, I will not be able to play in San Diego, man. PointsBet has me a little too busy.
And Teddy, before we finish up today, last question. What's the best bet that you've ever made? The one that paid you the most?
Well, the one that paid me the most happened just a couple months ago. It's a pretty cool story. So I created a bet for TPC Sawgrass for the Players Championship. And it was, will a player make 10 or will a player, you know, 10 or worse on number 17, you know, where the island green is. It had happened only 4 times in the history of the event on crazy windy days. So you can imagine how unlikely it was. So PointsBet priced that at 150-1. Well, my wife, who I refer to as a sports betting wife on Twitter, she's pretty good with the golf prop. So she threw $10 down on that. And then this golfer named Ben On made an 11. So that was $10 and it paid $1,500.
Wow. What about the worst one?
So earlier this year, I had a 4-team parlay and I only added a 4th team because I was going to be able to get a boost.
Okay.
So I had like three college football games. They were all pretty tight. And then I just threw on Penn State was hosting, I believe it was Minnesota. Penn State was minus 33-35. So you can't understand like how much of a favorite they were. So that's the money line. So that means you'd have to wager $3,300 to win 100. I think that implied like a 98% chance of victory. And again, just threw it in there for the sake of the boost, and Penn State lost. So I will forever be mad at James Franklin's crew for that one.
Well, Teddy, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. And best wishes, of course, next week with the U.S. Open and continued success at PointsBet. Thank you so much.
Continued success to you too, my friend. Have a great day, John. We'll see you.
Great talk there with Teddy Greenstein. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Teddy Greenstein himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?